We now go to Sacramento and bring in our pitching guru. He's a former pitcher for the San Francisco Giants and Angels, among others. But he is Jim Barr. And, Jim, nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Marty. It's nice to be here and talk with you again.
Yeah, it's always good to catch up with you. And, you know, we talk about pitching and how important it is in the game and just getting out of that first inning. And what I wanted to start you with is this little trend we have now where a reliever, now you've been a reliever in your life too, comes in the first inning and maybe faces four or five batters, then they bring the starter in. What do you think about that?
Well, kind of torn both ways. I mean, I understand a little bit why they did it because I know when Sergio Romo did it the other night, Angels had all right-handed hitters and Tampa was going to start a left-handed pitcher, so to start the game and get it through the initial right-handed hitter, they started Sergio. At least that's my opinion of why they did it. And it worked pretty good. But at the same time, then I think, okay, now what happens the other seven innings? We still got to play the other seven innings. That doesn't automatically change that. So I don't know. You talk about how pitchers, you let them get into a groove. You got to get to the starter within the first three innings. Some guys, because once they get in rhythm, they're tough to beat. My thing is, and we did it before, where when you're warming up for a game, sometimes rather than just warm up for 10, 12 minutes and then, boom, go out there, yeah, you're loose, but are you really mentally ready to bear down and pitch that first inning like you would the fourth or fifth inning? So sometimes I always thought it was good to throw early a little bit, sit down for a few minutes, get back up, throw again, sit down, and then throw. And then when I went out for the first inning, it was almost like I'm going out there for the second or third inning. So sometimes it's just a mental block.
Boy, interesting. Does that work, though? You always say, look, one player, I remember, you know, he only pitched well on the road, and he turned his house into what looked like a hotel room. You know, so mentally he could do it. But, you know, getting up and down, so you're working, does that work? When you do get in the game, in other words, you sort of think you're a little further along than you are?
I think sometimes it helps, but I think the biggest thing is a mental thing. You're mentally, if you throw and then you sit down, rest a little bit, and then you want to get back into the groove and throw hard again, now you have to mentally get into what you want to do. But it's not so much the throwing hard thing. It's, you know, hitting your spot. Some guys just need to get into a rhythm, need to get their arm in rhythm with their body, their mindset and everything of hitting the corners if that's the type of pitcher you were. And that's the type of pitcher I was. I had to hit corners because I wasn't a power-type guy, but I could hit the corner. So sometimes you just have to take that attitude. Hey, here we go, first inning. I mean, a run in the first inning counts just as much as a run in the seventh inning. So you got to be ready to shut it down right now.
Well, you're right. Jim Barr with us. Always, I always learn something about pitching. I've used the "if you're hoping, you ain't pitching" a million times this year with the Giants rotation. What do you think about Suarez? Young kid in the University of Miami, left-hander. Nice motion, has a little Billy Pierce tilt to him. What do you see with Suarez?
Well, I know the few times I've seen him throw, he's got good stuff. I like his rhythm and everything. I think sometimes with a young guy, when you watch a young guy pitch and they nibble a little bit and then they miss too much, now it comes back to a confident thing that, well, I can't do that anymore, so now I got to get back into throwing strikes. Then they start hitting too much of the plate. And at that level, you're going to get hit. So it almost comes, well, instead of pitching an inch off the plate, let's pitch an inch on the plate. And some people go, wow, you can do that? Well, in your mind, basically you can. And I just think if he has a little bit more confidence that, hey, I'm going to get ahead and I'm going to stay ahead, and if I miss nibbling, I'm still going to go back out there because I can hit that spot instead of pitching for the middle of the plate.
Yeah, no, I agree with you because when he does that, that's when the home runs start and he does get hit. Boy, you never pitched in Coors Field. It's like baseball on the moon. The outfield is so big. And, you know, you've got Williamson out there. You've got Gorky's in center and McCutchen who's showing some age and with the legs in right field. Can you imagine that outfield, having to cover it as an outfielder?
It is a big outfield. I know when I played, I always wanted my fastest center fielder to play, and I just told him, I said, hey, just have your motorcycle ready today because I'm going to be pitching away and they'll be hitting the ball towards center field a lot. So just be ready to do some running. And a lot of times it worked out pretty good. But, yeah, that is a big field. And it makes it tough for an outfielder because you want to cover as much as you can. So you're thinking about that. But at the same time, you don't want base hits to fall in front of you. But, you know, one thing or another, what are you going to do? So you play the percentages. And in today's game, being a power game, you got to play for the long ball going over your head rather than the singles in front of you.
Ah, good point. I always learned something from you. Very good. Jim Barr with us. You're right. Because this launch angle thing, people, you know, now, and again, I have to think back to how you pitched, and you were a precision pitcher. But now you sort of, I see a lot of pitchers trying to go up in the strike zone, and it doesn't always get called. But with the launch angle thing, you want to be able to throw high strikes now.
Yeah, you know, I agree, but at the same time, I'll take my chances with a low pitch rather than a high pitch because you miss a little bit up,
yeah.
and the way with the power bats are now, they could easily put that ball out of the ballpark. Whereas if you're down in the zone and you miss a little bit down, you come up a little bit, the mid quads a little bit. Now you're just giving up maybe a base hit or something like that, a ground ball through the infield, or even you're up your chances, especially if there's guys on base. And I don't want to pitch up and get a fly ball. I want to pitch down and get a ground ball double play. So I just more in favor of the down ball.
Yeah, no, I agree. The pitcher's friend is the double play. It sounds like you have man's best friend with you today.
Oh yeah, I've got four of them in here.
Yeah, I think they agree.
Unlike yesterday when I had 10 of them around here.
Did you really? Come on, how did that happen?
Well, my daughters come visit me, and they bring their dogs too. So
Holy
then we
cow.
Had them all running around here.
Holy cow! All right, very good, Jim Barr with us. That's a sidelight we didn't know. The draft is coming up as well, and that's a week from Monday, if I'm not mistaken. A week from today. I keep thinking today is Sunday. It's a week from today, around there. The draft is coming up. What was your draft experience?
You know, I don't really remember thinking about the draft at all because it was just a situation where I was playing. Yeah, I knew I'd probably get drafted, and the draft was that day, but not really thinking about it. I just thought, well, hey, you know, I'm graduating from high school. If I get drafted, not really thinking about it, I'm going to college anyway. And then you couldn't be drafted again until after your sophomore year. And then after that, we had the January draft. So I was drafted six times and never really thought about it. You know, I just played the game. And if someone called and said, hey, we drafted you and we want to sign you, oh okay, good, then let's go play. So I can honestly say I didn't really sit on the end of my chair watching the draft or anything like that because I knew it would just happen. So just waited for the call.
Well, you eventually signed with the Giants. Did you come close to signing with anybody else any of these other five times?
No, not really, because I was at – I went to USC, and the baseball program there was pretty good. And my dad always told me, he said, hey, you know, if you're going to sign early, you got to think about you're giving up your college and what that's going to mean to you. So unless that offer is really good, you got to weigh the two. So I stayed in school, and it turned out to be a good deal. The Giants drafted me, and then it was time to go play. And that's basically when I talk to kids now about playing, they say, you know, the draft. And I said, well, you get drafted. But I said, what do you want to do? You want to play. So they'll talk to you. They'll give you some money. And if they don't, but you get a chance to play, go do it.
Yeah, boy, very good advice. There'll be a lot of people in that position about another week. Jim, what about the Giants? It's Memorial Day, and I know as an athlete, a baseball player, we have certain markers during the season. The first couple of months, you try to figure out who the guys are, what the team looks like. What's your take on the Giants as we hit the one-third mark of the season?
Well, the one thing I see is there's been a lot of movement in the pitching staff. With the starters down with Cueto and Bumgarner and being down a little bit, that being out actually, it puts a lot of question marks in the pitching rotation. Then when you struggle a little bit, then you try to get back on, you go, well, who can help us? And then the bullpen struggles a little bit, goes back and forth. So there's a lot going on there that you hate to really see. You like to see some consistency coming out of there. So, you know, and everybody struggles. So even if you struggle a little bit, that's okay. It's when you struggle, then you do well. Then you struggle, then you do well. That's the inconsistency. If you're going to struggle, let's do that two or three times in a row, get it out of our system, and then have three, four, five, six good outings in a row. That's the consistency you want. You hate that up and down, especially as a coach, because now you're wondering who best to use in certain situations.
Sounds like Bumgarner wants a pitch on Friday night, and it sounds like the Giants want to see him. He's had one minor league rehab. You ever go into minor league rehab?
No, they didn't really do that too much back then when we had. In fact, I remember I was talking to someone the other night. We were talking about the disabled list. And I said, when I was first with the Giants, my first 8 years, I can never remember anybody being on the disabled list.
Yeah.
And then I went to the Angels, and the most you could have on the disabled list at any one time was five. And we had a waiting list of people to get on that disabled list, and then came back to the Giants, and again, just didn't have the injury. So I never really had the rehab stuff or anything like that, although I guess probably the closest thing I came to a rehab was when I hurt my shoulder when I was with the Angels, and then they let me go, and I was out for a couple months. I got back into shape, and then I went up and played AAA for the White Sox up in Edmonton, Canada, and got my shoulder back in shape and felt good. And then that winter I came back to the Giants and then went to spring training and made the club out of spring training for the next 2 years with the Giants. So that would be about the closest I came to a minor league rehab. And it's interesting that because at that time I was 36 years old playing AAA ball and then coming back. And, you know, you're playing with guys that have never been there before. They want to get there bad. They're trying everything they can. So you try to offer as much advice as you can without really making it sound like, you know, you know everything and they don't know anything. You're trying to tell them what to do. You're just trying to see how receptive they are and just kind of tell them to relax. And if they do what they're supposed to do, good things will happen.
Yeah, boy, we'll see. Bumgarner, I know he's on a man on a mission, and he was that way in spring training. And a freak injury with the pinky, and now he's ready to roll, and I know the Giants need him. One last thought for you. One player can give you a boost, and I think the Giants are in need of that one player. I mean, Crawford's been terrific. Belt's been terrific. Gorky's has been terrific, but they need the star. You know what I mean? They need mm-hmm. the big guy to come back, even if he's in once every 5 days. They need that boost, and I think that's what I see they're lacking right now.
Yeah, when you get one or two guys and they go out there, and almost every time they go out there, you know they're going to have a good game, then pretty soon it starts to kind of spread around to the other guy. They want to go out there and do the same thing, so you need that one or two guys to really solidify everything, and then hopefully pretty soon everybody starts to fall in line and wants to be like them too.
Yeah, yep, and that's why I think he ought to be on the mound. Hey, Jim, great to have you with us. As always, I always learn something. And believe me, if we're hoping, we ain't pitching. And I quote you all the time. That's kind of the way I feel with a couple of these starters right now. They're just hoping.
Yeah, you got to have confidence when you go out there. You got to have confidence you can get the job done. And then, because if you don't have that, then like I said, then you're wishing, you're hoping good things aren't going to happen then.
Very well said. Hey, great to have you on always. Thanks, Jim. Thank you so much.
All right, Marty. Thank you.
All right. That is Jim Barr. Always learn something from Jim Barr. Always do.